You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, we are back to another episode of the Back to Better Book Club, and today I have got a guest with me, one of the co-authors of this month's book. We've got Todd Music here. Thank you. Music. I said music because I had it in my mind. Oh,
that's yeah, it sounds fine, and I'll answer to whatever it is. So music is great.
Music, not music. We're going to keep this on here. We're not editing that out.
No, that's fine. That's great. So,
yeah, thank you so much for being here. So,
my pleasure. Thank you.
This book was written almost 20 years ago.
Yes. Yeah. And it's hard to believe that. Time flies so fast, doesn't it? You blink and it's like, oh, I just became a grandfather and I can't believe it. I think my kids are still in elementary school in first grade. So,
Yeah, exactly. How did that happen? I'm only 30, so whatever. I don't know.
Right. And so I am too. That's, you know, 29. It's how it feels. Time just goes by so fast, right?
So this book was recommended to me about a year and a half ago from another fellow business owner in a networking group with me. And he worked, I believe, he was a handyman. And so that was, you know, his part of the group, and he recommended it. And typically in my experience, I get recommended a lot of self-help books from a lot of moms and, you know, people that are trying to balance it. And it seems like a lot more females are recommending books to me personally, you know, woman to woman, like, well, if you're going to succeed in business, you got to do this, you got to do that. And so I always listen when someone else has another perspective of, okay, like that, now I want to hear it. And so I immediately downloaded it, which I've always got to eventually to read book. I try to do, I usually do 3 to 4 self-help books a month, which is crazy, but I'm just an Audible fanatic, and then I'll repeat them. And so I quickly put this one to the top. So I was like, oh, that sounds intriguing. And I feel like I juggle elephants. I love the title, by the way. Where did the title come from?
Well, you can see we like elephants. So it was a little bit from that, but really from the circus metaphor. So we came up with this idea that my life's like a 3-ring circus. And so you know, we wrote the book, and as we were kind of looking at titles, Jones just, my co-author just started playing with the idea of juggling, and, you know, because we all feel like we're juggling as well, right? Part of that circus we all run. And it kind of came from that, and juggling elephants, and just that principle that, you know, we feel like we can do it, but in reality, we can't juggle elephants. So
exactly. And for reference, everyone that's listening to this episode, this is meant to be after you've read the book. So we're not going to do a summary of every single book. Sorry, you don't get to cheat and get a 20-minute cliff note. The whole point is to read the books of this book club. I do send out like my 3 takeaways and my 3 tips that I got from the book, but everyone registers with their email address. There's the link in the episode notes. And then that gets you the access to everything, like, okay, here's this month's book, here's what the podcast episodes are going to be. But I just, you know, if none of this is making sense to you, I want you to pause and go actually read the book. This is not meant to be a replacement for reading the book, because, you know, you had it all on there. But so the book talks about a guy named Mark who has this analogy. He goes to this circus and basically meets the ringmaster, who can tell that, you know, he's not present. He's not there. He's technically there to try to make his wife and daughter happy, but he wants to be at work, But then he's feeling guilty, and if he was at work, he'd be feeling bad. And like an outside person looking in, the ringmaster, who he happens, and it's the ringmaster from another circus, so he's there observing, but he can tell. And to me, that was something in the book that resonated with me, because my closest friends, okay, they can tell when when something's going on, but if an outside stranger can pick that up, like, wow, you're and I feel like I get feedback. We're going to use the word feedback from people that like to tell
Oh
me, like,
yeah. Yeah.
I once got told, "Wow, you don't see your kids a lot." I'm like, "Actually, yeah, I do. I do. Like, I work a lot, but whatever. How can you?" But if someone can tell, okay, you're juggling elephants, and sometimes you have someone say something like that to you, and you pause and think, "Wow, okay, other people can tell that." So, where did that idea come? Was that intentional that some stranger could see it?
Well, yeah, and this book is so personal because it really evolved out of a conversation with Jones and I around this topic of we felt like we were so overwhelmed. We were both in our 30s at the time. We were both very busy with our careers, with our family, with the we had, my wife and I had just bought a fixer upper. And if you've ever dealt with a fixer upper before, I mean, and literally Jones is visiting me from out of town. And I'm so busy, I can't take time off to,
Go golfing
have a
or
day with him, right? Spend a day with him. And I'm like, I've got a dumpster in my driveway. I need to clear a bunch of branches because they're going to haul it away. Do you mind helping me, clear out the dumpster or fill up this dumpster? I mean, I so relate to the character Mark because that was me. And who hasn't gone to an event? And you're checking your phone, you're really not present, you're really not there in the moment. Or we say, oh, we're home with the family, but again, we're not present. We're doing a bunch of other things. And so yes, that part of the book was very personal because that was our lives. We were both very extremely busy, and I really felt like I was doing okay with my work. My family relationship was okay, but not great. But I wasn't taking care of myself either. And as Jones and I talked about this, literally filling a dumpster in my front yard, I said, I feel like I'm juggling elephants, or I feel like I'm in a three-ring circus. And that just kicked it off. So yeah, the character of Mark is very personable, very near and dear to us because that was who we were and still are sometimes.
Yeah, so I would say, having wrote this book 20 years ago, 19 years ago that this book came out, or whatever it is, first of all, have you gone back and read it recently? Or, obviously you wrote it, so you remember what's in it, but I want to know the principles that have evolved since. And I don't want to make it seem like, that it's no longer relevant, because of course it is. It is a very timeless book. That's why, and I had no idea it was that old when I read it. I thought, okay, yeah, it's a year or two old. I didn't even, it seems the concepts are still very, very present. And so I'm just curious, now that you intentionally, do you have to mindfully think, okay, which ring am I in? Or, eventually it becomes second nature, but how has it evolved for you now?
One of the benefits of metaphor is that it kind of remains timeless a little bit because now circuses have changed, right? I mean, with animal rights and some of the sad treatment of animals, that's changed over 20 years, and the increase or the nude circuses that you see with ac the acrobats and such. So the benefit that I have is I get to speak on this regularly. Jones and I both still regularly speak about the program. But I still need to be reminded. I still need to be reminded about the principles from the book. Things that have changed, technology is probably crazier than it was 20 years ago. I mean, it was pretty bad back then, but social media wasn't as big. And, social media can be such a time sucker, if you would, that we can get caught up. I mean, it's one of those things where we think, oh, I'm just going to check Facebook. And then 2 hours, that never happens to you, I'm sure. But 2 hours later, you're still looking at reels and you're still scrolling and doing things. So I think, technology has probably increased, social media has increased, the time we spend there, that feeling of of juggling elephants, but also just having way too many things going on, I think still remains the same, but and is maybe even more intense than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think that, those distractions, just trying to mitigate and evolve them. I used to do everything through contact forms on my website. And so if you wanted to, if you're getting married, because I own, it's a flower farm that's evolving pretty significantly into more of a studio florist. So we do a lot of weddings. We're just expanding to those bigger events, basically. If there's a big retirement party that wants flowers on every table, or we're doing those higher volume orders. And then I have forms now that, and I still implement this one pretty good, but if someone asks, can you donate something to a silent auction, I'm like, okay, fill out this form, and then that will say, like, are you a customer here? It's like,
Are
prioritize
you a
it.
customer or just reaching out?
But I actually just last month I went and got a separate phone line for my business. And I have that on the website now, and I'm actually going back to phone is now my preferred. It was email for a couple of years, but just that distraction and that couple of hours of being in my inbox. And I have hired assistants to sort my inbox, and I had Liz to open today, Liz to open ASAP, and Liz to open. And it's like, if everything's on fire, nothing's important. And so everything was kind of streamlining through me. And so now it's, if that bride fills out a form saying, I want you to do my weddings next June, I still have an assistant, but I'm like, just call her. Just call her immediately and say, when can you come and meet with Liz? Have a sign up, a Calendly, and just mitigate those distractions, because you just can't. Because if, whenever I'm in my inbox, I get three emails while I'm in my inbox.
Exactly. And really, we could manage our day by, starting with the opening of our inbox, even in bed. I mean, that's a bad habit, but so, sometimes we do. We start first thing in the morning when, open our eye and look at our phone and start with email, and we could end it in the day and not even get out of our inbox to do the other things that are so important about either running our businesses or, spending time with. That's why we're in having family dinners and we're checking our phones during family dinners. It's really a I think, in my opinion, a crisis that we have to be able to resolve, because it's just too much. It really is too much and takes away from those things that are more important, which is really what juggling elephants is all about.
Yeah, and I, so one of the books that's going to be upcoming in the next couple months, teaser alert, it's called Deep Work. Have you heard that one? So
I'm familiar.
I do not do my email stuff in the morning, because if I'm recording a solo podcast episode, I do that. I try to do those in the morning, but for the most part, guest interviews, I'm like, well, that's fun. That's a conversation. I'll do that in the afternoon. I don't, you don't need that full focus. But just trying to realize, I think the thing that I took away from Juggling Elephants was, he talks about when he was at work and he was going to start working on a project, but realized that, hey, I don't have all of the information quite yet. So it would be a waste of my time to do this right now. So what can I do instead? And then when this is ready for me, and I can't remember what the specific scenario was, but those things happen all of the time. When I'm going to upload something, and I do have, my assistant will make all of the graphics in Canva or something. If they're not ready yet, I'm not going to go ahead and do mine. Like, until hers are ready, or, and but it's also realizing that she has her own circus that she's juggling, and I need to prioritize being available for when she has questions or something, because otherwise she can't work on the things if it's not ready for that, so it's acknowledging that everyone is juggling their own three-ring circus, and your circus is not the only circus.
Well, and that's why planning is so important, and daily planning. And a lot of people say, well, I don't like to plan because then it's, I'm disappointed at the end of the day because I didn't do everything on my plan. But planning, it's about being intentional and really saying, and that's what you're talking about with the skill of, when to bring acts into your circus, right? Or when you want to wait till they're ready. You want to wait till they're prepared, because there's plenty of other acts, waiting to come in to be, to distract you, and or the urgencies that happen. I mean, when you have kids, things happen, right? And there's urgencies that come up. So really, again, going back to the metaphor of the circus, determining intentionally when you bring acts into your circus and when you don't. We talk about the three D's, delete, delegate, or delay. Sometimes we just have to say no. We have to delete. We have to say no to things. And that's painful. That's hard. It's extremely hard for me to do that. But sometimes we have to choose between, because it's not usually a choice between good, better, or it's not usually a choice between two different good things. It's usually a choice between good, better, and best. Or, it's easy to say no to the bad things, but a lot of times we're having to choose between good, better, and the best things, and make those choices. So I highly recommend, what you're talking about delegate, delete, or delay. Delegate to an assistant, or delay and say, it's just not the time. It's not ready, or that it's not the time of life right now for me to do a certain act.
I remind myself all the time because my daughters are 3 and 6, and I'm like, it's not my turn. It's not my turn.
You have to. I mean, I have the same story. I mean, my daughter Tava really wanted to learn to play the guitar, and I always have wanted to play the guitar. I mean, I've had a guitar since I was probably 12 years old and never learned how to play. And so we decided to take guitar lessons together, and so excited about that. And 6 weeks later, after taking, I'm playing "Mary Had the Little a Little Lamb" still, and she's just in there, jamming out and playing the guitar crazy. And I had to decide, hey, this is not an act that could be in my circus. I wasn't practicing. I know I still took her and had the time with her going to the lessons, but it was an act that I had to say, not my turn to. Just
Yeah,
exactly what
exactly.
you said.
Or, running a marathon or writing another book. Or, I told you I have one book ready that, I've got speaking with a couple agents and I've sent them my proposals and blah, blah, blah. And then I have another book in my mind that I'm like, oh, that would be fantastic. And this is one that I think would probably do even better and sell even better and more aligned with my brand. But I'm like, this one's always going to be in the back of my mind. Like, I can't, sometimes you have to get a few things off of your plate. And I like the analogy that my plate is as full as I like it. And it's taken me a while to get there. I've really done some work on that in the last year. I've always been that, I don't want to even say high achiever, because I don't know how much I was really achieving, but I was just that, like, I wore it like a badge of honor that I do all these things, but was I excelling or was I just doing them? I don't really know.
Well, and you bring up a very good point, and that's one a lot of times we don't do, and that's stopping and asking the question. Because life's so busy that we just go from one thing to another to another, and we wake up 3 years later and say, what did I just accomplish in the last 3 years? So really stopping and being intentional and saying, what am I gonna, this is my circus. I'm the ringmaster, which again is one of the most pivotal points of this book for me, is the acknowledgement we are the ringmaster of our circus. Our kids aren't the ringmaster, they influence it. They are participants in our circus, but they're not our boss, isn't. We are ultimately our parents, they influence, but ultimately, at the end of the day, I'm responsible to this wonderful life that I've been given, and to make the most out of it. And therefore, I need to take the time to be intentional and decide what's going to be in my circus.
The other part that really resonated with me is, so there's three rings, and A, you can't be in all three at once, can't even be in two of them at once, just be present in the one you're in. But also, it's the same metaphor as, the rising tide raises all ships.
It
If you're
does.
watching and, this one is a 3-minute act, this one's a 3-minute act, this one's a 3-minute act, and as great as the other two are, if the audience has to sit through something really boring for 3 minutes, even if it's 6 minutes of great, and then that boring 3 minutes, they're gonna leave and their overall impression is gonna be so poor. So it has to, you can't, completely excel at home and give all of your devotion to that, or your career is gonna suffer, or and You talked about it. Yep. When I go to bed on time, and when I, don't have a beer for happy hour, and when I don't eat fast food, and when I get my exercise, get my steps in, close my rings, guess what? I feel better and I am able to concentrate better. It really does matter.
Yeah, we've presented this program to thousands of people across the country, and it's always interesting to me when you say, okay, we have the three rings, which one gets neglected? It's always our self ring, right?
Always
It's
yourself,
always us. We get the leftovers. We get the
right?
leftovers. So even though we have to sometimes say, it's not my time, we also have to say, I need some time. And really to be able to look at our self ring and say, you know what? I do need some time for me. I need some time to exercise. I need to make sure I'm taking care of myself. And because if we don't care, take care of ourselves, what happens to the other two rings? Just as the tide, you raise the tide, if you don't take care of your self ring, the other two rings get suffer as well.
Well, and I think especially as, being a business owner, as, entrepreneur podcast, I've started to dabble in public speaking as well. It's all great to stand there and say that, oh, I did this, so I'm not tied to a 9-to-5 job. Well, if I'm not doing the things I want to be doing, then what's the point? I would have a lot more free time if I continued to work as a nurse practitioner,
Exactly,
and like, yeah, I
exactly.
have these charts to get done, but I could be flexible when I get them done. And, versus, if I don't have time to go for a run or go cross country skiing or go, I'm not saying every day. You can't do everything every day. You can't even do it
Right.
all every week. But if you're not able to do those things you enjoy, then what is the point?
Yeah, exactly. Punching that time card sounds really good right now, doesn't it? When you're an entrepreneur, because it's like, I'd love to go in at 8 o'clock, punch the time card, and then leave at 5 and call it a day and not even think about work until the next day when I do it. As entrepreneurs, sometimes that's just not possible. But, and again, it goes back to being intentional. That's the word you're going to hear from me over and over again. It's being able to say to ourselves, here's where we draw the line. Here's where, we stop. Here's where we go cross country skiing or make sure we carve out that time. And, so I think that's critical. It's a great point.
So this was the first book that you wrote, co-wrote together, right? And then the two of you, Jones and you, wrote a second one together.
That is correct. The second book we wrote was called Getting to It. It is an acronym for important things. So IT, important things. So it's
That
getting to
one's a
our
little different.
important things. So it's really taken kind of the principles of juggling elephants and really honing in and focusing on how do we get to the most important things, that good, better to best, really focusing on the best. Because again, we could talk about hacks and, assistants and how we leverage assistants and how we leverage apps and technology. It is going to come down to the moment when we have to say no to this and yes to this. What's most important? And again, being deliberate about that and not just having, whatever yells loudest or, rings or dings or pings, technology, allowing that to be what drives, what matters most to us.
As an entrepreneur, as I'm trying to, hire up and scale up and in, truly invest in people. I mean, that's exactly what it is. It's investing in people to help with certain parts of my business. And, my husband and I were just having a conversation, my other podcast, I probably put about 10 hours a week into that. And I've got some sponsors and I've got some, just different, we have a private podcast that people can subscribe to and that's paid and, just figuring it all out. But by the time I pay my producer, pay my, all these things, like what would be, like, would I need help to do the other stuff on my business, my flower farm, the wedding florals, or would I have time to do those things? And do I even want to do some of those things that I'm hiring out? And just kind of, sometimes when you start thinking about it too much, it gets really overwhelming. Because I think I'm definitely in a stage of, you go through peaks and valleys in business, and I think I'm definitely coming down off of a peak. Because I'm doing all the things, and we're in this growth stage right now, and this is not a time to make that decision. But I think it's important to constantly evaluate what your rings are and what the priorities and what that looks like. And we talked about having 2 years. I'm only 1 year into this certain journey, and We'll see. But if in a year, maybe I wouldn't need, maybe some of those acts don't belong. Maybe some of these things don't. And we'll see. Like, I'm not going anywhere for now. Like, I'm gonna give it another year and see. And I mean, I'll know pretty well whether or not my book comes out, whether or not I'm still speaking, whether or not I'm still getting podcast sponsorships. If I stop, then I guess it stops. And that's okay too.
And it is, and it's, because saying no is hard, right? So saying no is hard, but the reality is when we can focus, and that's another key principle of time management and work-life balance and management or managing our lives, really being able to focus and be able to say, I'm going to do the best job I can at this. And it's hard as business owners, especially when we see opportunities, because we think, oh, we can do it all. For me, it was, oh, I can be an author, and oh, I can be a speaker, and oh, I'm going to add coaching, and oh, I'm going to add all these other things. Well, I was spreading myself so thin, I wasn't doing any of those acts in my circus well. And so I had to back off. I had to, back down and really look at which ones I really needed to focus on and say, well, maybe next year I'll add coaching and do that over time. Because we see the next guy, right? The next guy next door, he's doing it all. So I should be able to do it all, right? Because I'm better and, I'm greater, They've
And
probably been doing it
sometimes
for
it's,
20 years.
the, I'm not going to say fake it till you make it, but sometimes it's, the person with the most conviction or gumption or whatever, like, I don't know, whatever. What makes you an expert? I don't know, doing it, showing that, sharing it, For me, I mean, I have this coaching business for flower farmers, which sounds crazy, but ultimately I started this Flower Farmer Forum podcast, thinking that it would be my local customers that buy flowers every week. And that's not what happened. They don't care how to grow flowers. They don't care how to sell flowers. They don't care. Or it wasn't going to be about selling. It was going to be about growing. Well, if they cared about growing flowers, they wouldn't buy them from me. I mean, I have hundreds of people that buy flowers from me every week, and they don't care how they're grown because they don't want to grow their own flowers. And so people that wanted to build a business like mine. And but then I kept getting questions and kept getting emails and kept saying, how did you do this? Where do you buy your bulbs from? What kind of website do you use? How do you market? Here's my problem. And I'm like, I so it was about this year. It was last year in September that I created a course, and that comes with, some people don't like that. Some people think that that's, you should just help people. And I'm like, I can't have this act in my circus unless I'm being compensated for it, because I cannot devote the time. And now I know that those 25 people or whoever it is that's taken my course, I think 30 some now, if they send me a message now ongoing, and we have group coaching and ongoing, like, okay, now I can actually answer that and know how to prioritize it.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of times people don't realize the expense that goes into a quality programmer, a quality, that takes time and energy, and you're
Exactly.
continuing trying to improve it and do better and things like that. That costs. And you have lots of expenses related to that with editors and designers and developers. Yeah. So you're exactly right. It has to meet the goal for that performance in your circus. So.
Is it still the self ring that you have the hardest time prioritizing?
Probably self-ring for me is always kind of secondary, and the balance with family too. I mean, those are the ones I always have to keep an eye on, because of course you want to provide for your family, you want to take care of your family, and that comes with work, and work takes work, and we spend so much time in those arenas that it's easy to neglect the relationship ring. Although when your kids are younger, you have to take care of them. But now I'm in this older stage where my kids are married and older. It's more about how can I serve them? How can I help them? I have my first grandbaby, and I
Correct,
can't
grandma.
wait to spend time with him and enjoy spending time with him. So it is an ever-going balance. But again, you go back to kind of what you said. When you're in the ring, you got to be in the ring. You got to be focused when you're in those rings. It's not just about showing up, but it's about, and that's what I really strive hard to do. And I sometimes fail at it, but is when I'm in that ring, I want to be full in that ring, not checking my phone, not trying, worrying about work. And sometimes that's easier said than done.
Yeah, and I think for the Honestly, one of the first times of my life this last season, this last summer, I went really hard on my self ring and my relationship ring. And now I'm like, okay, Davey, my 3-year-old, I'm like, you are going to Monday through Friday daycare for a couple months. Like, I am so behind on work and my goals. And it is true because I don't feel guilt about being a person that gets, I feel fulfilled from my career and whatever. Like, my sisters kind of laugh at me. They're like, well, you just have no mom guilt. I'm like, nah, I'm an awesome mom. Why would I have mom guilt? Like, I don't care. But like, I got career goals. But, there are things that I'm a little behind on. For example, this podcast, I planned on having all of these episodes done by July so that when it comes out in September, and I'm like, well, here we go. But guess what? I had a really fun summer. I had so much fun with my kids. They got my undivided attention. Basically, I did 4-day weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I had more help on my farm. Payroll killed me, but it was awesome.
Well, and you have to celebrate that. You really have to celebrate that, because otherwise we start feeling guilty, or we start, and you got to celebrate the wins. So that's critical. That's just as important as celebrating the wins. And the good news is tomorrow we've got another opportunity to keep at it and getting better and intentionally managing that which is important to us.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's also the key, is to not get too hard on yourself when you do career a little too hard, or the one act goes over the other, but just taking a step back. And I think it's a good metaphor of ways to just acknowledge that, hey, this isn't balanced. This isn't, and not, and we know that balance doesn't exist. This doesn't mean
It's
a
not
third
about
of your
balancing.
time has to be this, a third of your time,
No.
a third. They're not. Maybe all these rings aren't the same size, and that's okay too.
And as we say in the book, it's about having quality acts in each ring. It's not about having balanced or equal. It's about having quality acts across all those rings, because there's not enough hours in the day. You think about how much time is required to spend, at least in the United States, what we spend, at work. No, we can't balance that. So it's about quality acts in each one of those rings. And you talked earlier about negotiating, right? Sometimes we have to negotiate with our relationships and with ourselves and say, hey, I'm going to need to spend a little bit of time this week. Hopefully it's a week or the next 2 weeks at work. I was amazed at even our young kids understood that really well. When we would, one of our practices was we would have a family meeting every week religiously. We would have a family meeting every week. Where we would talk about the things that were going on in our home, the activities we were doing during the week,
When would you do that?
lessons, all of that.
When
And
would you have the meeting? Was
what's
it
that?
Sunday nights, or what was
Yeah,
it?
for us it was Sunday night, because it was what made it easier to, at the start of the week. And our kids really got it. They understood. And so that when I came home from work, they knew I was going to come home from work, because I had been able to communicate that's what I was going to do. But at the same time, what saved my bacon is when my wife or my kids communicated that, oh, they had a soccer game, or they had a performance when my kids were in middle school and high school. Oh, my performance is coming up, and this and this and that. That saved me so that I could plan, and we'd look at the week, and at the beginning of the month, we'd look at the whole month. So we kind of had an idea. We had a family calendar, but that was gold for me. And my wife and I still do it. I mean, even though we're nesters now, we still do that, because you have to do that negotiation, that give and take, to be able to say, I need a little more time this week at work, or hey, it's a little quiet a week. What are we going to do this week? Let's go out and, go climb in the mountains here, or if
Yeah,
it's the
well, I
beach,
think knowing that I have my own circus, my husband has his own circus, and having that meeting of saying, I can't know everything. Like, I literally just can't sometimes. It's kind of funny. People laugh. Yesterday, I was like, oh, I think he's up by Duluth, which is 2.5 hours that way. And he's like, no, I was working in Rochester. That's like 3 hours. They're like, you don't know what part of the state he, that's a 7-hour difference. You don't know where he is. I'm like, I don't care. Like, he'll be home by supper. I don't know, whatever. Because I don't have time for those details. And it's not that I don't care, but, or just even Not that, again, not that we don't care, but we are trying so hard together to prioritize our own cell rings. And if he's like, hey, I'm gonna meet up with a friend for a drink, okay. And then a couple days later I'm like, hey, who'd you meet up with? It's just because it whatever he needs to do, I don't question it, I don't ask, and it's not that we're not invested in each other's lives, but we're at this stage right now where we're just, you got the kids, I got the kids, and that's okay. And it's just however we can squeeze in some time with our friendships or whatever. Like, he doesn't question if, I'm like, hey, I'm gonna go do something, and he's like, I don't know. I don't know if it's work, I don't know if it's friends, I don't know if it's a flower thing, I don't know if it's a podcast speaking, like, I don't know, but she's gone overnight, whatever. Like, and it's, and we don't love that. We want to get, as winter is coming here in Minnesota, like, we want to be able to have our Sunday night meeting or whatever, but right now we just don't have time for that, and that's okay.
Right. Yeah. No, I and you got to do what you got to do, right? And I just think planning, I think anytime you can over communicate, I think that just makes some of those bumps a little easier because yeah, you're right. You don't have to get into the details of everything, but I'll tell you, when I understood what was going on, it helped me, especially like I have some flexibility in my travel and my profession and being able to say, hey, can I leave Thursday or can I leave Wednesday? And knowing what the schedule was and what was going on around the house would make it a lot easier.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, yeah, being a team. I don't want to be ships passing in the night, but you know what? That's
Well,
okay.
that's the other part of juggling elephants, right? Is how effectively can you work with the other performers of the circus? Because we can only do so much. And that's, one of the chapters is, really, how do you work with the other performers in your circus? And we think a lot of that is professionally, with coworkers or assistants or things like that. But our family is part of our circus as well. And when things run smoothly at home or with our friends or things like that, our circus is much better. So, and especially when we can leverage that. So
So where can we find your information, website, other books that are maybe coming out in January
yeah,
or
so I've got
five?
a yeah, so I've got a book coming out next year. So it's we're excited about that. My website is toddmusig.com, and so people can go there and see about training programs, coaching, and upcoming books.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to just kind of give that insight, deeper conversation to the book. And yeah, thank you so much for joining me.
Liz, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be on your podcast, and thanks for having us part of your book club. I really appreciate that.